Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Backliners podcast. It's Aggro and Barracuda, as per usual, as Bonk Patrol wrote out in the chat just so nicely for me to read off my intro. Barra, can you believe it's almost time for Phase 3 already?
Yeah, I feel like the break was really long, but also at the same time, I feel like I blinked and then the break was over, but the break was like 7 weeks. I mean, the break was like 7 weeks, but
it was like 7 weeks.
I want to say, because we took like 4 weeks off, and then I feel like we've been scrimming for about 3 weeks before, like, yeah, this next week will be my third week scrimming.
No way. You're telling me we put out 7 consecutive weeks of break content. We didn't take a week off during this time. We always take a week off.
Yeah, we did the double episode, I think.
Oh my god, we did the double episode! Holy cow, we went crazy.
Patting yourself on the back?
No, it's that time just is so me. I can't believe it was 7 weeks. I mean, and here's the part that makes me the most sad. Have you heard of Dave Olson, a.k.a. Dolson? He's a Smite caster. He goes to the gym.
Dolson, yeah.
Yeah. And he and I were trying to get a time to golf. Dave, Neil Ma, two-time world champion, support
Does
Neil Ma.
Dolson need his own, like, golf club? Like, personally made for him? Does he just swing it like a giant club?
Yeah, it's made of wood. It's like Diddy Kong in Mario Superstar Baseball, how he just uses a little twig, or how Donkey Kong uses a boxing glove, and that's how he, like, punches the baseball. No, we were supposed to get together to golf, like, the first week of their break, and it didn't work out, and I was really sad, because I haven't golfed with them in a long time. And, of course, our friend Tristan, who's on the production team as well. And they were like, don't worry, this break is super long. We will definitely be able to find a time to golf. We did not golf over this break at all together. And I think I'm coming to the realization that I think they might just hate me. That's the feeling that I'm getting, you know? Because it's 7 weeks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you, because I also was supposed to do something social that I can't even remember anymore at this point. But I definitely was supposed to. And, you know, 7 weeks goes by in the blink of an eye, and I'm not really sure what happened. It's just roster change. You know, every time you have a roster change, it's just everything's up in the air. I feel like you don't get, like, that quality reset off. And you need, like, the extra, like, break time, because it was stressful and everything. And, yeah, thanks, Haddix.
Well, I mean, you could say, thanks, Leviathans, right? You know, maybe it was their temptation that lured him away. So
their tasty fruit stole my soul.
I wasn't going to say that, but you can. That's up to you to decide if you want to say that. Yeah, let's start there. We are going to do a little AMA episode. And here's the other thing about our SPL break content. The AMA episode is a staple. A mainstay. It's exactly what we rely on whenever there's not a whole lot of
other. We save the best for last.
And we save the best for last a little bit here. So get your questions ready in the Twitch chat. If you are a podcast listener only, and you want to participate in future AMAs like this, You can watch us record the podcast live and interact in the chat at twitch.tv/prediction esports. That's prediction with an extra E in the pre. 8 p.m. on Mondays is when we normally do it. But sometimes it's a total wild card, and so you better just like follow us on Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
Aggro on Twitter.
Yeah, at Aggro.
I'll retweet whatever he says.
Yeah, that's probably just for the best. So yeah, save those questions in chat. We will go over them after, of course, we talk about a little bit of Smite, because otherwise it would get the YouTube comments of like, Smite stock starts at 56 minutes. It would be like, oh man, that is a lot. So we have to do it the other way around. This time, we're going to get them with this one. Let's give our predictions, since Phase 3 is right around the corner, starting, oh my god, September 30th. That is Friday, by the way. The final phase before we head into Smite World Championship qualifiers and all that kind of stuff. By far the most tumultuous phase due to all of these roster changes. I suppose it might behoove us to go what? Over those. Yeah, behoove. It's like benefit. I don't know why it's a word, but it is. Those roster changes. The Leviathans have Haddix as their solo laner now. They've replaced Yark Core. The Olympus Bolts, losing Haddix, have picked up Baskin for the solo lane. And the Solar Scarabs have replaced Inbound with Yark Core, who's moving to support for his first time.
He's got a little, like, Cyclone Spin energy, the more I think about it.
Yeah, Yark's a multi-role superstar, for sure.
Something about these solo laners, I think.
Yeah. Did solo laners win the charity event games? They did, right? That happened
this
weekend? Yeah,
my team decided that we wanted to beat the supports, and then we were done. So.
Oh, okay. But did you beat the supports?
We did beat the supports, and then we lost to the solo laners in Slash, and lost to the supports in Assault. And
so it sounds like you actually didn't beat the supports.
Well, no, we beat them the one time that mattered on Slash, and then in Assault, we could have beaten them multiple times, but Cyclone was Thor ulting the Assault waves, and Stewart was...
Well, he was getting big.
He was TPing behind them with Ganesh and knock-up med, and ulting them and trying to knock them into Assault.
Okay, that bangs. That's good strats right there.
He TP'd into their fountain and tried to assassinate people.
Did it work?
So, no, it didn't.
Oh, that's so unlucky for him.
I was really cheering him on. I mean, also, like, that group of, like, ADC players was so fun to play with, by the way. I was genuinely, like, having a blast, even though we were losing. The Slash game was fun. Like, everyone's comms were super high. And then the Assault game, like, we were just making fun of them the whole time as they, like, missed a lot of, like, you know,
well,
semi-important skill shots.
That's just unlucky.
It was a really entertaining time. And then when we were walking out, the other roles were like, that was a pity win.
Listen, so, sometimes the supports need it. They spend all phase dying for you. Well, other supports on other teams spend all phase dying for you, sacrificing their own farm. It only makes sense to give some back to them in this instance,
I think they
actually
make it into the finals. I think they beat us, the mids, and I want to say the junglers in Assault.
Wow.
And I want to say it was them in the solo laners in the finals.
I think that is true. I watched a little bit of that on Friday before I left for my little weekend trip that I took.
Ooh, nice.
And it was a great time. But then I didn't get to watch any Smite the rest of the weekend, so that did make me sad. But solo laners are the role to beat when it comes to role swapping, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think it was hard to get my team motivated because there wasn't, like, money on the line. So we just kind of wanted to have a good time, not a long time. You know?
Yeah, I feel that. Well, you could have, I mean, playing with all those different players and all that kind of stuff, surely you took advantage of that opportunity by telling them that you might not be playing for money right now, but they could be saving money by switching to Mint Mobile. Surely you did that, Barra. And
could you actually
reenact what your sales pitch was for switching to Mint Mobile to your teammates? Go ahead.
Well, you see, I didn't do it. But if I did, I would say it's the easiest way for any, you know, even if you're like a casual gamer, you don't take it that seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, you can save money. We don't need like a massive like pro gamer brain to save money every month. All you have to do is, you know, sign up through our link.
Which is?
And mintmobile.com/backliners.
Oh, that's the money right there. And how? That's what does that link give them? Like, what's the deal that they get by using my link? I don't know why I'm quizzing you now, but this is fun.
Is $15 a month for your wireless service, which is on T-Mobile's network, which is an amazing network because I used it for years before swapping.
Some would say the nation's largest 5G network, and they'd be correct if they said that.
Oh, they would. Okay.
Yeah, they would say that, and they'd be right for sure.
Yeah, and it takes like 2 seconds to sign up. It literally comes to your door. You swap out your SIM card, you sign up, and you're saving a ton of money every month. And trust me, it's so easy to sign up. And yeah, we would love you for it.
We would love you for it. That's all you got to do. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped straight to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. Barrett, that was good work by you. I should have you do the ad reads more often. I'm just going to stop doing them, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't really an ad read because I didn't have anything to read.
Well, exactly. That's what you're a natural. You don't even need it.
I was just staring at my webcam, talking to myself.
Man, and it was beautiful. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I can't see Agro's webcam. I don't know if you guys know this, but I can't see his webcam because Discord or OBS takes it. So stare at two little gray boxes going around, and I can see his delayed reaction on the stream, which is fun.
That is nice.
Yeah, that's
I get to stare at Bear the whole time, and I do, trust
me. That's me.
I get lost in there. His eyes, I mean. All right, let's talk about our predictions for Phase 3. Mm-hmm. We can't, I don't think, you know, let's not number the teams 1 through 8 or anything that, course. But just general, let's start with a team that you think is going to have a surprisingly good Phase 3, like a little bit of a, not necessarily going to win, you know, finish first or anything like that, but what team do you think is going to surpass expectations that the public might set for them in Phase 3?
Can I have two?
Sure.
Leviathans and Valkyries.
Okay.
Because Leviathans have been struggling all year, and I would still like to keep their identity, I guess, mm-hmm. as, like, struggling this year. Even though I assume that they will be turning it up to 10 in the fall split. But I'm still saying that because of their past performances this year, in my opinion, they're still looped into that, not like lower side. I guess it is. Like, I think they were like 5th or 6th in summer split.
They have a losing record across both phases. They were 7-7 in phase 2. They were 3-4 in phase 1. So they are one game under 500 for the year, which is actually crazy to think about.
Yeah, my brain's working.
There it is.
So yeah, I think Leviathans, compared to this year's performance, will have a good phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously there will be like Worlds contenders as well, especially with Haddix on that team. That guy is the GOAT. And then Valkyries as well. I think Valkyries have finally like hit their stride and found their identity. And I think whenever metas change, I think that's their strong point, because they can just, like, they don't need to adapt to a well-defined meta. They can just, like, play whatever they want and come up with whatever they want on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think right now the meta is suiting them really well compared to, like, earlier this year and also in the summer split.
Sure.
Because the meta right now is kind of up in the air. I feel like a lot of gods are good in a lot of different roles. I think ADC is probably the most, like, locked role right now, in my opinion, where, like, the tier list for competitive is, like, relatively small. In other roles, I feel like it's pretty big. Mm-hmm. Especially with the mid changes recently, with the pin changes, I think it opens up the mid pool a lot. That's my two teams.
Those are good ones. It's so interesting. I've been talking to some people about the pin changes in mid and, you know, playing with it myself, obviously, and all that kind of stuff. And isn't it so crazy how three pin makes that much of a difference? And the reality is that it doesn't, right? Like, mathematically, even if you go double flat pen, it just doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yep.
But just like the feeling of it and the mentality of it changes so much that it causes meta shifts based on numbers that don't actually change the effective math like much at all. You know, how many people are actually dying that wouldn't have died to the same exact build before this patch? Like, maybe once a week in scrims you'd come across that.
Maybe? I thought about those things so much. I even thought about it on the most recent, like, Mulan ult change. I was like, is that really going to, like, finish a kill? Or is that really going to, like, change a team fight? It was, like, 25 damage, I think, on the ult. And it's just, like, thinking about numbers on that, like, small of a scale. Like, you just see the change, and it's like, that's not a big change. Nope. But then you start seeing Mulans literally everywhere. So, I mean, the three change as well, obviously. But,
sure.
Yeah.
It is crazy how much of a difference things like that can make. And then you see us, like, do buffs that are, like, massive, and the god or the items sees absolutely no play still. And it's like,
it gets, like, three more buffs, and everyone's like, wait, this god's so OP, Hyrus, what are you doing? No one played this god.
I'll be honest, all the time, like, when we talk about buffing a god that we've buffed fairly recently, I'm like, are we just Guan Yu-ing this god? Like, that's literally what I say out loud. Because remember, there was a stretch where Guan Yu just didn't see play, and so he got buff. And then a couple patches, then a buff, and then a couple patches, and then a buff. And I'll defend, until the cows come home, that continuing to buff that god until he saw some amount of play made sense. It fits all of our goals. Even if we think the god is good, if they aren't seeing play and no one thinks they're good, then they aren't. Like, that's just the reality of it. But yeah, that is a constant worry of mine. So it definitely comes up quite a bit in my brain. For me, teams that I think are going to outperform expectations, I think the Leviathans are definitely going to do better. I think they will finish with a positive record. I'd be very surprised if they didn't. But as far as my expectations for that team, they are still pretty high. So I don't know if I would say that they're going to outperform those expectations.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, they haven't played great all year, but I feel like everyone's mind, they're still, like, a top two team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard to take them out of that, like, position, right? And that's kind of the very fun issue right now with the SPL is that I look at these eight teams and I think, like, wow, six of these teams could win a world champ, like, five and a half of these teams could, like, win a world championship this year. And it would not surprise me even a little bit. And then the other 2.5 teams, those being the Warriors are kind of on the cusp, then the Scarabs and the Valkyries, I could see them making big enough jumps during this phase in order to become real contenders. Now, if they won, I would still be surprised, but it wouldn't floor me. Like, if the Valkyries from last year won Worlds, I would have been floored, right? Like, it wasn't happening. I can't say that
not even like parallel universes.
No, there are a billion universes, like infinite universes. There's only one where the Valkyries won, like one, a single one. That's not how infinite works, but you know. so like the team and among those five in particular that I think could very easily win it. Not, you know what I mean? It's very, very hard to differentiate them. So I think that I'm going to pick. This isn't even a good pick, man. The Kings won phase two. They were 12-2 over that time.
It can't be the Kings. It can't be the Kings.
Yeah, but do you think that people think that they are the number one team coming into this phase?
I think that people think they're like a top two team at least. So like to say that they would outperform expectations, I feel like that would kind of be impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, they could finish first in that instance, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know.
They really outperform.
They're really going off here. Yeah, I don't know,
I think
man.
It's just
this
Valks.
Is the Valks is the easiest one for sure. Valks are the easiest one. You know, I think that they clearly started to put things together much better towards the end of phase two. They looked much better at Summer Masters. You hope that they can continue that type of run. That kind of leads me to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is the Solar Scarabs. I mean, obviously the team that no fan base can be feeling more unsure about their team than Solar Scarabs fans, right? And that's a blanket statement across potentially the rest of time.
It's crazy, because if you look at that team right now, they have 3 world champions on there.
Yeah?
Like, that roster is stacked.
Yep.
That they should be
2 MVPs,
really good.
2 Worlds Finals MVPs, 4 world championships between 3 players there.
Yeah.
They should be really good.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think they actually will be? Because I don't know. Like, I could totally see them taking it by storm and just owning, and I could also see it them really struggling. Like, okay, here, let's maybe it's just because we haven't talked to, like, SPL nitty-gritty in a little bit, but I'm getting amped up just thinking about it, and I'm just going to be tossing out hot, these are scalding hot takes fresh off the iron. We say that they've got all these world championships, which is obviously a true statement. But if you look at the way that they would play around those world champions, Yarkor is role swapping to a role he hasn't played competitively. And I think Yarkor is one of the best players Smite has ever seen. So I've got no concerns long term about him. But he has to do a lot of work on this team based on what we saw from them in playoffs and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got Sam, who is new to the team. And in a meta where it doesn't seem like it's going to be super jungler-centric, at least from what I've been hearing and what I've been seeing in my games, I'd be surprised if this was funnel the jungler type of meta. And then that brings you to Scary D, the person with 2 rings on this team. And Scary obviously is capable of hitting these unbelievable highs during the postseason and during these great world championship runs, but has never really been a play-around type player. And it's certainly not looked like the type of player you want to play around this year. He's been okay to good at times, but not like give this guy the farm and he's going to do it for you. So those world championships, like, yeah, they mean something, but it's in a way that it feels a little deceiving just based on their exact situation and how they've been playing this season alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I view Scary D as an only Worlds player.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, from teaming with Scary, not to say, like, he was, like, lackluster or anything, but he just turns it on so much higher during Worlds. Like, that man's got some crazy reserve back there that he can only tap into once a year.
A pact made with the devil. Yeah. He can only do it at Worlds lands, but when he can, oh, baby, watch out.
Yeah, I would have a lot of faith for this team at the end of this split. I mean, right now, obviously, big question mark, Yarkor swapping to support. And in my opinion, I think support is by far the hardest role to swap to.
Yes.
I think there is a lot of decisions that supports have to make during the game that no other role really has to make besides probably jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And jungle, I feel like you're either really good at jungle or you're not. And I feel like swapping to that is, I mean, Scary you tried to. It's so hard to swap to either one of those roles. Yeah, I think Yarkor is going to have to be a big leader for this team to kind of control Sam and Baronic a bit. And I don't know if that is his shot calling style of being controlling and calling for these invades and calling for these types of plays and where to ward and what play to make, etc., etc. Obviously, even if he isn't right now, he can be by the end of the split, but it's just, it's going to take so many, like, hard lessons, I think, for them to transition into being a Worlds contender.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, I think we're still kind of in the same boat as the Scarabs in this talk,
because
I feel like losing Haddox was a big part of our team, and obviously, Baskin is incredible, like, one of the best mechanical players ever, one of the best leaders ever. But it's definitely like a different change of pace. So I think both of us, I think we're question marks with the Scarabs as well for going into the split. Not that I'm not like unconfident in us by any means, but I think there will be an adjustment period for both of our teams.
Yeah, I think that's super fair to say. And I was going to ask you about that. I mean, it's been a very successful year for you guys, back-to-back second seeds, in each of the phases, during the Masters, Lands hasn't been quite as successful, but the regular season has been quite good for you guys. Do you expect to finish top two in this phase as well, like you did in the other two?
No, definitely not. I will be happy with a top four placement for this phase. Mm-hmm. I think top four, mentally for me, will be a very confident shot for me for Worlds. I mean, even if we're, like, below that slightly, I won't be, like, too, like, upset. But I think we have a lot of room right now to grow, which is exciting. But it's also, I feel like we took a lot of steps back as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that your ceiling has adjusted at all with this move? Like, do you think that your top end is as good as it was? You know, maybe
way
your top
too early
end
to tell.
Yeah, fair
honestly.
Enough.
Honestly. Yeah, because, I mean, I wish I could give you, like, a good answer for that, but right now, like, we're basically just reteaching Baskin Smite.
Mm-hmm.
So, Baskin has, you know, one of the highest ceilings ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think he knows where his ceiling is right now. So, I don't really know where our team ceiling is either. But I will say that man has been absolutely cracked in scrims, so.
I've heard about some picks that he's been tossing out there.
There's been a lot of them. There's
in scrims. Yeah. Yeah. I should have cleared a story with him before we get on this podcast, because it was very, very funny. But maybe next week we can talk about it. Okay, so with that, let's go with who we think is going to finish first overall in phase three. And I'll go first, because I've been making you go first every time.
Oh, I already have one.
Oh, you already have one. Oh, okay. Well, I already have mine too, Barry, and I'm going to say the Jade Dragons. That's who I'm saying is going to be the phase three victor. Who you got?
I was also going to say the Dragons.
We're so good at this. Unless we aren't. We're either going to be really good at this together or really bad at this together. And that's the way I have it.
I feel like they're still riding their high together. And I'm pretty sure they just won the land, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I feel like with the meta not shifting that much, I feel like they'll still be, like, obviously, like, the best team. I think Kings are right behind them. And after that, I think it's just a smorgasbord of everyone together. Like, I think it's top two and then everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably true. I mean, Leviathans could maybe crack it. Titans are a team that I just view as a playoff team. Like, I feel like the Titans are going to be, like, third, fourth, maybe fifth for, like,
Titans
ever.
Titans are a team of scary Ds.
Yeah. Maybe more consistent during the regular season.
Yeah, they tap into it. They've got a few more reserves.
Yeah, exactly. But then, obviously, come Worlds time, you can never count that team out. They are unbelievable. But, yeah, regular season Titans, not a team I'm super scared of. Not in, like, a disrespectful way, but just in a...
It's
not going to be their best. And that's just kind of the way it is. That leaves us with one team that we haven't really talked about at all. And it, for me, is one of the most interesting stories of the year. And that's the Oni Warriors. I was very down on this team coming into this year. They proved me wrong with their really, really good run in phase one. They went 5-2, finished third, tied for first, really, with you guys and the Dragons. Just crazy stuff. Then they start off phase two really hot. And then slide back down to six. They finished 6-8. But then at the Summer Masters land.
Sixth place?
Yeah, they got sixth place in phase two. They finished 6-8. Then at the Masters land, they go to the semifinals. And they finish that event 4-2, winning the third place match over the Titans. What are you expecting from the Warriors in phase three?
I honestly don't know. I feel like. I mean, I feel like you could say a lot of teams are their own worst enemy, but I feel like Warriors are their own worst enemy. Just, they have these incredible highs, and they have these... I just call them, like, Warriors drafts at this point. I feel like if you saw a Warriors draft on paper and you didn't know which team that was, I feel like it's pretty obvious what team it is.
Sure.
And I feel like they do a lot of these particular drafts. And if those drafts are in meta, and if those playstyles are in meta, I think they're a really good team. Like, the Hunter mid stuff, I think Dardez just carries in those metas, and I think Vogt is, like, probably one of the best magical in duo lane players.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if those things aren't meta, and Darda's, his, like, god pool gets questionable at that point, because I feel like his mages are sometimes, like, really good in the meta, and sometimes they're just kind of there. So yeah, I just view them as a big question mark, and I think, not to say, like, Nika hasn't been, like, hard carrying or anything, but I think it's not the same, like, okay, like, how much weight can Nika carry?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's more, like, I guess, diverse or spread across the team now with the weight. And I also feel like their mid through V3 has gotten way better.
Yes, much better.
So I think there's less pressure on their side lanes. They can make more plays. But in the same time, we saw, like Agro said, they were really good and really bad. Not really bad, but I mean...
they were pretty bad.
Really, really bad compared to what they were.
Sure.
So just, I think they're in the question mark bunch with us and Scarabs.
Yeah, fair enough.
For me, anyways.
Over under fourth place. Well, are they going to finish in the top half or the bottom half in phase three?
I would say top half.
Interesting. I'm going to go bottom half.
I think it would be Kings, Dragons, Warriors, Titans for top four, I'd say. If I was a betting man, I would say
interesting,
those
but you had the Leviathans exceeding expectations. Doesn't that mean that they would be at least top four?
Too. Yeah, yeah.
And you're hoping for the fourth place, at least fourth place, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, I didn't want to like, oh
sure,
yeah,
fair
we'll
enough.
Definitely be, you know.
I think it's fair, you know, I think it's
I
fair.
Always exclude myself when it comes to like that stuff.
So kind.
I honestly think we're going to have a worse phase, but a better playoffs.
I think that is a reasonable expectation.
Like, granted, it'd be cool to be top four, but I feel like we'll probably be, like, fifth or sixth, and then, like, everything will finally hit stride.
Yeah. Man, wouldn't it be crazy if the Jade Dragons just looked like they have the last, like, 3 years going into Worlds again? Well, 2 years. The 3 years before last year, I should say. Because last year they didn't look as like... I think that the 3 years... So what? This is season 9. So seasons 5, 6, and 7, I thought the Dragons or Ghost or Rival or whatever they were at the time were just so clearly the best team. And they didn't win a single one of those Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, season 8, I didn't think that they were definitively the best team, but they were certainly contenders. That'd be crazy if they get back to that same status. And what type of pressure that would entail for that team. Because there's just no way, in my opinion, that if this... Just like how the Nika vote Dardez core, there will be zero times for the rest of their Smite careers where they go up 2-0 in a best of five and no one thinks about them getting reverse swept. And that's earned, you know? Like, you earned that. And it's deserved, I think. I think the same should be said for the PBM, Pandacat, Final K core, that how can you not think in the back of your mind, well, they might look like they're the best now, but...
They can make it to finals.
They can make it to finals. And they can look like the best team in the finals for two of the five games. Because that's what's happened like every year. It's just three. It's the other three that typically turns out to be the problem for them. All right. Well, I'm really excited for phase three, man. It's been a long time. It's been a really long break. But in a way,
a long break, but a short break.
Yeah, but a very short break at the same time because I didn't get to golf with Neil, Dave, and Tristan, and that makes me sad. All right. Let's move on to our AMA. Portion of the episode. I do have some tweets, is responses on Twitter, but everyone in the chat can go ahead and start putting down some questions that we will get to here in a moment, because the first one's coming from Zaza on Twitter. Barrow, what are the odds of Baskin getting a solo kill first weekend of SPL?
Very high.
Very? You think he's doing it?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, 5 gifted to Barrow.
Not even be like a fan or anything, but that man's been soloing everybody over there, so
he's kind of the beast. Wait, let's look at your schedule to see who he's playing against. He's playing against Solar Troll.
Scarabs.
Solar Troll is a good one to go up against if you want to get a solo kill. Kasat, and I'm sure that he would admit this too. he's going to try and solo you, and it's okay if you solo him for doing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's going to go for it. And I really like that about him as a player.
I do want to say, I don't think our Titans SPL set is going to be an SPL set. Mm. I think that set's going to look like a scrim that got streamed, and it's going to be fun either way, but I don't think that's going to be a very coordinated day for either team.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it were. All right, Sean wants to know, if you were offered the superpower of teleportation, but when you do it, your body feels like you full sprinted there, would you take it?
Oh.
I thought about this a little bit already. I cheated. Yes. It hinges on a very important question. If I feel like I sprinted there, would I receive the benefits of having run that much? You know? Like, would it put me in better shape?
Yeah, I was also thinking that. And also,
and if the answer is yes, it's an easy yes, right? Like, that's literally the best case scenario, except for just straight teleportation.
Yeah, that is some insane cardio.
You would, like, literally die, though, if you tried to go too far with your first few teleports, you know?
Well, I would definitely just go up and down the stairs.
I was already thinking that. Yeah, that's easy money.
Yeah, you got to build those calves. And can you imagine how good our butts would look if we went up and down the stairs that many
times? Phenomenal. I would just be upstairs, downstairs, perfect. Upstairs, downstairs, yeah, right? Upstairs, downstairs. And then I'd be like, ooh, tough work today, man. Okay.
Would you just teleport and then just collapse?
Well, yeah, if you teleported too far, you would, like, literally, you'd die instantly if you tried to teleport. Like, if I'm like, I want to go to Rome, and I just, like, my corpse arrives in Rome instantly. No, I'd, like, you know, you work up to it, especially if it's full sprinting. Like, I'm not going to be able to teleport to even the grocery store 5 minutes from here for, like, months, right? That's going to take months of training.
No, I'm the same way, but that would definitely just be fun to have.
Yeah.
Like, even, okay, your cue pops, you know, you're downstairs, boom.
Upstairs.
Instantly upstairs.
And you're breathing hard.
Except the cue. Yeah. I got a little bit of a workout, and all I did was go downstairs. Like, that's nice.
Freedom.
I would definitely take that. But I wouldn't do any crazy, like, TPs. I would just do, like, short distances, like aggro thing. Like,
short ports.
The grocery store, like, downstairs, I'd get my cardio in, boom.
Yep, and then I would compete in the Olympics once I have successfully trained myself forever. But I wouldn't, of course, cheat in the Olympics by sprinting, by teleporting. Uh-huh. I would just sprint because I'm capable of it, because I've trained better than them by cheating in my training. But I wouldn't cheat, of course.
But it's okay.
But it is okay. Kithara asks, I assume you won't have a good answer for this one, Bera, what the best Magic the Gathering plane is. The planes are like the different worlds in which they visit. They have all types of different themes, you know. There's, like, a normal, like, fantasy one with, like, elves and gnomes and dwarves. And then there's, like, futuristic Japan. And then there's, like, Dinosaur Island, where it's, like, a bunch of, like, pirates and dinosaurs and vampires. And, like, that one's really cool. There's like, a plane for everything. So how about you can answer this by saying, imagine a cool world with like a theme. What is it?
Definitely just like Lord of the Rings esque stuff, like orcs and elves and dwarves and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Easy money.
That's the coolest worlds, and I also feel like we should have more movies about that stuff, because growing up, you know, we had Lord of the Rings, and then I feel like after that we haven't really had any like orc and elves movies, so we need some more of those. Sorry.
Interesting. No, that's interesting. Have you watched the new like Lord of the Rings series at all?
No, I want to wait for it all to come out before I watch it, because I'm that guy.
You're a binger.
Uh-huh.
Understood. My favorite Magic plane, I have a real soft spot for, Amonkhet, which is, like, the ancient Egyptian-themed, one. Mm. A lot of Egyptian lore, which I'm obviously, like, a fan of, and lots of tie-ins to Egyptian mythology, which I obviously think is super cool. But what happened on like, Mirrodin? Like, that whole story, I think is very interesting and very cool. I'm very excited for The Brothers War, which is the next set coming out. Neon wants to know how our fantasy football teams are doing.
So mine did awful.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, okay, I don't know what happened.
What's your record so far?
It's 2-1, and I dominated everyone the first 2 weeks. Like, I had the highest scores week one and week two.
Uh-huh.
And then I checked yesterday night, and I'm like, boys, what happened? You're projected to get 20, 25 points. You're bringing home me 4?
Yeah.
And that's like 5 of my players. You're bringing home me 4?
Yeah. Like, the welcome to fantasy football. Yeah.
So I lost. Needless to say.
Yeah, I'm 1-2. I played against Lamar Jackson this week, and he had 5 touchdowns. My team also did not do very well. Not a great week for the boy Tyreek Hill, who I was hoping would do a little bit more than he did. But yeah, 1-2. My team sucks. That's just the way it goes. Blitz wants to know if we could switch bodies for one day. Would you do that?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Instantly, yes. I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who I wouldn't be willing to switch bodies with for a day. It'd really only be if I thought they were going to absolutely destroy my body in the one day they had.
Wait, what?
Right? Like, because it's just one day. No matter how bad it is.
Wait, I zoned out for like 2 seconds checking my fantasy team. Did you say I would destroy your
body? No, I'm saying you'd be hard pressed to have me find someone who I wouldn't swap bodies with for one day.
Oh, okay.
The only way I wouldn't is if it was with someone who I thought would, like, annihilate my body.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
You know? Or, like, maybe... Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of variables in this question, Blitz. Like, if let's say I'm addicted to eating Reese's Take 5 candy bars, which is more or less true, because I love those things. Would I feel compelled to eat that in Bera's body, or would Bera feel compelled to eat that because he's in my body? You know what I mean? And that changes the whole dynamic of it.
I was just thinking, like, it'd be cool to be, like, a game designer for a day.
Oh, no, I was thinking physical, like, Freaky Friday like bodies.
Oh, like, you're still, like... Oh, I was just thinking, like, to be a game designer and hang out with a dog. That sounds fun to me.
Bro, you can come over and hang out with my dog whenever you want. We'll talk game design. That's fine. We could do this so much easier than the Freaky Friday scenario. That is not the hard part, man. That's the easy part.
That was all I was thinking about.
Oh, thank you. My wife just tossed me a Reese's Take 5 candy bar. We get all these right. And I eat the bag and I don't want to talk about how long. Yeah, that's really funny.
Oh, what would I do? Oh, well, I would just be a game designer here with the dogs.
Well, there you go. Oh, what would we do? Yeah, I would just hang out with Bera's cats. I would play some Smite and see what it feels like to be actually good.
Oh, yeah, would you scrim?
Yeah, I'd totally scrim. I miss scrimming. I only miss scrimming because I don't have to do it all the time, you know?
Yep.
But I miss the... I obviously remember the bad parts of scrimming. But it's also pretty easy to remember, like, the fun parts of scrimming. Where it's just, like, you know, being together with your teammates and becoming closer as teammates and working towards a common goal and having, like, a very clear goal and all that kind of stuff. That part of scrimming was very fun. It was just, like, the... Well, for me, it was, like, I worked a 12-hour shift at my job... and now I'm coming home to scrim. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, type of moments that were a little tough. I don't want to be doing that. But luckily, I didn't have to.
Yeah, it's definitely a positive and negative to scrimming. You know, when your team's feeling good and you're feeling confident, a lot of fun. If your team's not feeling good and you're struggling, it's like, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, can we just go do something else?
Yeah, that would totally suck. All right, let's go back over to Twitter. Sam wants to know, who plays the best split by role? So for phase 3, who's going to play, like, the best mid laner? Who's going to be the best solo laner? All that kind of stuff. That's fair. I think we can do this one pretty quickly. Let me take a look here. So, I think the best mid laner is going to be Pagan. He's been a huge reason why the Dragons have been popping off. So I'm going to go with Pagan there. Bera, do you want me to do all 5 and buy you some time, or do you want to go with me roll by roll?
I'll go BMT. I don't want to go teammates, because I mean, sure. That would just be me saying all of my teammates. We'll say BMT.
Sure, fair enough. Junglers. I'm going to go with Panatom.
Ooh. Okay, I was going to say Scream, but you mentioning Panatom. Ooh. I'll go Scream. I'll just be different.
You would just be different.
I would.
Solo. I'm going to go with...
Go Nika.
You go Nika. Okay. I'm gonna...
I think he's gonna have a Bugatti, you know? He's gonna have that kind of performance.
Okay.
You know?
That's a good one.
Be carrying, yeah.
I'm gonna go... Haddix. I'm gonna go Haddix. All Leviathans.
That was my original answer, and I was like, I'll be spicy.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Support. I'm gonna say Genetics.
That was my guess. Or my answer. I'll go Genetics here.
That's fair. And then ADC,
PCAT.
Yeah, PCAT is
Zatman.
Oh, it is False Split Steve. Yeah, false Split Steve. False Split Steve.
It's not World Steve yet, but it's we're ramping up.
We're getting closer. I'll go PCAT. I will go PCAT. I'm gonna take the easy answer there. Okay, and then Epic Spaghetti on Twitter asks, most underrated breakfast cereal combination. Interesting.
Oh, like combining like Cocoa Puffs and like Reese's Puffs or something?
Yeah, I'm diametrically opposed to that. I never combine cereals. I don't do it.
I only do that if I've been a heathen before and there's like three like really low cereals together. I'm just like, I'll just pour it all together in a bowl and put some milk on it and eat it. But
not me.
I'm not the biggest cereal eater anymore anyways. I mean top tier cereals for me when I did eat a lot of cereal would be Reese's Puffs. Like I would
yep.
destroy a whole box of Reese's Puffs. So.
Easily.
Maybe just Reese's Puffs with like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch or like Cocoa Puff or something along those lines, still like in the dessert area of taste buds. Like I don't think I would go like Lucky Charms or anything, but Reese's Puffs with one of those would be good.
S tier. Reese's Puffs just unbelievable. If I have three bags of cereal that all have like a third of a bowl in it, which is something that I used to be much worse about. Now I'm a little bit better about not doing that. I would pour a mini bowl of one cereal, eat it, get a different bowl, because then you got the milk that's going to take, it's going to leave, it's polluted. Yeah. It's going to leave a whole thing. I'm getting three separate bowls and eating all of them separately. The thought of combining them would literally never even cross my mind. Not for a second. I wouldn't do it. It's not happening. In general, though, most underrated cereal, period. It's easy. It's Crispix. Crispix absolutely bangs. No one ever talks about it.
What are those?
They're little, like, they're like Chex squares, but they aren't quite squares. They're, like, hexagons. And one side is corn, and the other side is rice. First of all, an engineering marvel, right? Imagine showing someone that that's what a machine could do, you know? Like in the 1800s, they'd be like, no shot, this could be created consistently. They're delicious. They aren't as sugary as a lot of other cereals, though, of course, you know, it's cereal. They're refreshing because they give you a lot of milk because of the holes in it. Their structural integrity is not the best. Their milk absorption rate is a little too high, so you have to eat them pretty quickly. But they are top tier.
3.5 grams of sugar in one cup of Crispix cereal. That is like a quarter to like a sixth.
Yeah.
Of the normal sugar amounts.
So it's really not bad.
Crispix, yeah, pretty good, pretty healthy. Well,
are they vegan, Barra? Are they vegan? Can you eat those?
Most things are vegan. Like cereals, because it's just fake. It's
right.
Like Oreos.
Right.
So most of them aren't real, so most of them are vegan. Because, you know.
And that includes Crispix.
Yeah, it does. Crispix also does not have many ingredients. It's got like 8 ingredients, and they look to be pretty normal.
Yo, get us a Crispix sponsorship, man. I'm down to push Crispix all day.
I'm gonna go get me some Crispix. That sounds pretty good.
Please do. Please report back on your thoughts on Crispix. I think they are a top tier non-dessert cereal. Like, as far as cereals to actually start your day with, if you're starting your day with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, look in the mirror, you know? Like, that's not good for you.
That used to be me.
That used to be me as well. And then I looked in the mirror and was like, this is not normal. no one should do this if they're not a child. And they certainly should not be doing it. Try out Crispix. That's a good one.
Yeah,
best cereal milk? I think it is Reese's Puffs.
Oh, we're going with that.
Yeah, I think Reese's
Puffs.
I thought
you meant like...
Cinnamon Toast Crunch
like
milk 2%. Is top tier. Oh, no. Oh, interesting. Yeah, 2% is the best.
Okay. He did mean cereal.
But,
okay.
Yeah. Also, Cocoa Puffs. Top tier milk remains.
Yeah, Fruit Loops is pretty low for me, honestly. I don't
agreed.
Like the,
Fruit Loops is F tier, sorry. I don't know how to tell you this.
I wouldn't throw F tier, but it's definitely not a milk that I enjoy drinking. I would say maybe Reese's Puffs or Cocoa Puffs. I mean, it's literally like chocolate milk.
Yep,
so,
they're
I mean,
just better that way.
Yeah, it can't be bad. Also, the only thing I don't like about Crispix that you were talking about earlier is it gets soggy fast, and I'm not a big fan of that because I pour like enormous bowls of cereal. So,
same.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't think I would enjoy.
They're not. It's not like what's a cereal that just like disintegrates as it gets too much as it gets
Rice Krispies
too much milk. Yeah, like Rice Krispies are just inedible.
It's just like mush.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
It just coagulates.
It's just terrible. It's not like that. You definitely do have to eat it fairly quickly, but it's really good. Like, I'll just sit there with the box next to me and I'll just like pour a little bit in, pour my milk, and then eat it pretty quickly, and then just pour more Crispix in and maybe like a little top off of milk. And I kind of like double bowl in that way because that's the move for sure. Milk absorption rate is so important when it comes to cereals. And another underrated cereal for its milk absorption rate, Honeycomb. Definitely a very sugary cereal, obviously. But Honeycomb, you can leave in the milk forever and it's not going to fall apart. And that's big. and its best bites are in the middle of its milk absorption, which is... So many cereals' best bites are as soon as you pour the milk on and push it all underneath. And that means you're not getting that many of the premium bites. But with Honeycomb, you get a lot of premium bites.
And some cereals are, like, too hard. Right when you pour them in and then you go to bite, it's like, these are kind of hurting my teeth or, like, my gums a little
bit. Yep, got to soften them up.
Hard. Yeah, exactly.
Got to soften them up for sure. Before we move on in the AMA, before I get too lost to talk about cereal, do have... One more sponsor that we got to get to this week. It is BetterHelp, one that I do love talking about. And I do have to say, because it says mandatory disclaimer, now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. If you haven't heard us talk about it before, BetterHelp is an easy way to help find the right therapist for you. Bear and I are both big advocates for finding a therapist and talking to them about all of your different problems, or if you don't even have a lot of problems, just... what's going on in your life, getting that outside perspective certainly really helps. And BetterHelp is a really great way to get introduced because getting into therapy is very intimidating and scary. And even though I've been to therapy before, the thought of finding another therapist and all that kind of stuff was very intimidating and made me delay it longer than I definitely should have. And I wish that a podcast that I was listening to had told me about BetterHelp because I certainly would have used it. If you want to give them give therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option for that. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and it's entirely online. You don't have to find a therapist that you go to in person. You can, but you can also find ones that are online for calls, emails, you know, whatever you want to do. It's much better that way. So when you want to be a better problem solver, Therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/backliners today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/backliners. Thanks to BetterHelp for being a part of the show. Again, great way to support us.
And thanks to you guys for signing up.
We did hear that we've gotten a good amount of signups on BetterHelp, which made me really legitimately very happy because, you know,
that's awesome.
Obviously happy to see programs and products that are that like the show get involved and then get rewarded for that. That's a great thing, but definitely makes me feel good to know that there are some people out there that might not have had a good direction for something like finding a good therapist, and to use a platform like this to introduce them to that makes me feel good for sure. So appreciate you guys.
Proud of you guys.
Keep it up. Keep doing it. We're proud of you. Okay, let's. I did see some more questions in here that aren't cereal related, but I really appreciate how into cereal our chat is. That's really good. Percy did say, I continually prove that I can blow hypotheticals way out of proportion more than anyone else on the planet, and I take great, great pleasure in doing that. So thank you for that. Neon asked a little bit earlier, if we had a class swap, three gods, who would they be? Three seems like a lot. Let's just class swap one, huh? We'll just do one.
Let's see. I would swap Uller to Assassin.
Interesting.
I feel like he's much more of an Assassin god than a Hunter god. Because I feel like Assassins want to like kill you instantly with their abilities, and I feel like that's kind of just what Uller does. He hits a button and then kills you with his abilities. And I feel like Assassins are kind of like that too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's interesting. Is answering this just a trap? Is there going to be like a Reddit thread that like this is going to happen if I answer this question?
Probably.
I abstain. There we go. I plead the fifth. Hopeless Wall wants to know rank our favorite seasons of the year. This is a great question. Hopeless
Ooh.
Wall.
Ooh. So I think I would go winter, spring, fall, summer.
That's in top to bottom?
Yep.
Okay, winter, spring, fall, summer. Interesting. You go fall third. Yeah, I think fall might be number one for me.
I couldn't make up my mind whether fall was second or third, so I just did it quickly and threw it in third.
I respect.
I love spring.
I respect that. Spring is great. I think they're all... Here's the good thing about seasons. They're all good. There isn't a season I dislike. Let me lead with that. And now let me mercilessly rank them. Summer has a lot of advantages, though. You know, it's
just so hot.
It's so hot, but it also has the most like carefree attitude to it. You know, you can go to the beach in the summer, which is something you can't do as easily in the other seasons.
I would rather go to the beach in the other seasons than during the summer.
Oh, I wouldn't. You need it to be hot so you can get in the water and have it be refreshing. You know, I don't want the water to be cold. The water is the best part of the beach. Do you agree with that? Some people don't like getting in the water at the beach. And
I'm
don't
not a water
that.
Guy.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
You don't understand that, but...
I don't.
I remember we were on vacation in Panama City, and I think my mom's, like, life raft flipped over.
Oh, I don't like that.
I think that, like... scared me a lot of the ocean water, because I was like, what if I flipped over and just like drifted away, because I was like a kid at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember something scary happening in the ocean water.
Hmm.
And basically since then I'm like, I'll stick to pools. I like pools. Ocean water kind of low tier, but river water is cool. Like, I'll swim in a river or whatever.
No, ocean water is S tier because it has waves. Yeah. Waves are the best. Oh, I love body surfing. I love the ocean. Okay, I gotta finish my rankings. From top to bottom, for me, it is... No, you're good. It is fall... Oh, well, it depends on where I am. I'm doing the thing again. down here, winter is low tier, right? Because there's no snow. Like, snow is the point of winter. Down here, winter is fourth, easily. But, like, up in Pittsburgh, where I grew up, winter is probably third, above spring. And down here, summer is lower because it's too hot to do stuff. Whereas in Pittsburgh,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm going with an average, an aggregate of the seasons. This is the most mild of climates, but enough where seasons still change. I'm going fall, summer, spring, winter. But I love winter. But it has to snow. That's like the whole point. Gotta be doing
that. I like winter just because I like being cold, I think. And like you said, the summer's down here. I think I would like summer. It's kind of funny because I feel like I would enjoy summer in Florida so much more than I would enjoy summer in Georgia. Because Georgia, you walk outside and your shirt just sticks to you. And like,
that happens in Florida too, dog. It's worse in Florida.
Yeah, but in Florida, I'm not wearing a shirt. So I'm having fun.
You can like, just not wear a shirt here. I'm sure Destiny would love it.
I would just walk into Publix just shirtless. I'd be that guy.
I mean, you could do this. You could do this, the sleeveless tank top for sure.
That's true. I feel like it's just weirder in Georgia to like dress in beach gear than in Florida. Because Florida, like everyone's wearing beach gear everywhere you see. And then Georgia is not. It's just the opposite. It's just, I don't know, it's just too hot.
You could
here.
Definitely get away with a sleeveless, like a sleeveless tank top in Georgia. 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
There's no bathing suit with it. You know, that would be weird.
And like the sandals and flip-flops. And
right,
stuff,
for sure. Barra, I recently got Crocs.
How are they?
They kind of bang.
I've been thinking about getting me a pair.
You really should. Here's a key. I will tell you this, and this is to everyone listening. If you've been considering getting Crocs, and you care about what you look like or how you are perceived, don't do it. Because they are uglier than I thought they were. I look worse than I thought they... Like, they look worse than I thought they would. However, my feet are comfortable, and it's so convenient that I simply don't care. And I'm old now, so I don't care how people... And I'm married... I don't have to impress anybody. Except my wife. But, you know.
Okay.
No, I don't got to impress anyone.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, I'm not going to be wearing Crocs to Worlds. I'll tell you that, okay? I won't be. But at the same time, I wouldn't even care that much. So if that's a problem for you, don't get them. But if you don't care and you're looking, like, taking the dog outside or, like, going outside in the yard to, like, play fetch with her or something like that. Way better than just like sandals, which I thought were basically the same. They really aren't. And yeah, I went to a cabin this weekend and I forgot slippers like an idiot.
But you had your Crocs.
I had my Crocs. I just wore them literally all day. And I loved them. They're really comfy. And people only made fun of me like most of the day. So like that's a win. You know what I mean?
That's the same thing I get for being vegan, you know? It's just...
There it is.
Par for the course. You wear Crocs, you're a vegan.
It's all the same thing.
That would be an awful combination there, but I'm not
Yeah, you
wearing,
can't, you
I'm
can't
not
do
wearing
it,
Crocs.
Huh? Unlucky.
That's too much negativity in my life.
Vet Bearded on Twitter asks a three-part question. Here we go. Do you think the change in solo revitalizes the Leviathans?
Yes. We already answered that, so yes.
I'm saying yes as well. Do we think it leads to a repeat as world champs? That's a much higher in-depth question.
I don't think whether they win or lose Worlds is because of Haddocks.
Interesting. That's a good take. I'm going to say no, that they will not win this year's World Championship. Again, not necessarily because of Haddocks or not because of him, but if it's the Leviathans versus the field, I'm obviously taking the field. And do you think Zap gets four rings back to back to back? That's the same question.
Yep.
I don't think so. Okay, let's let me do one more double check for. I think I missed one question. This is good podcast content. Well Disciplined asks our favorite video games that we have played, not including Smite, and why.
Halo 2, Warcraft 3. Halo 2 was kind of the game-defining or era-defining game, I guess, for me. And it just led me to multiplayer games and to competing against my friends, competing against other people. I mean, because we had, like, Halo CE lands or, like, Halo 1 lands, but it was just, like, I can't remember, System Link chords. We go in, like, different rooms, we play Halo CE, but Halo 2 was, like, my big, like, first step in the competitive waters. And so I just really enjoyed that game. Like, I would play that game all night. If I could go back to how I was then, I would literally play Halo 2, like, 24 hours straight. And, yeah, and Warcraft 3, just, it was the best game on PC, in my opinion, during that time. The expansion was amazing. All the custom games were amazing. I would literally come home and just grind custom games. And I would play, like, tower defenses, or if I wanted something more serious, I would just play the multiplayer mode. And then that's also, like, where Dota came from. So there was, like, you could play Dota if you wanted to. And it's just... The stuff you could do back then, I just felt it was much more, like, endless than now, I guess. Mm. For, like, the top-tier games, I feel like they had so much more variability, but it's also probably because it was brand new to my brain, so everything was still had that novelty and like addiction, I guess, to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those two games.
Yeah, those are good ones. Yeah, for me, Modern Warfare 2 was an obsession on a level that I don't know if I'll ever. I know I won't ever have it about another video game again. Smite was very similar in that regard, but I know that I'm just past the point in my life where I can be obsessed with a game like I was either one of those. And yeah, Modern Warfare 2 was incredible. Black Ops 2, very much the same way. Just thousands and thousands of hours in those two games. Mario Superstar Baseball on the GameCube, of course, as I've ranted about many times. And Battle Right, one of my favorite PC games of all time. That game banked. I wish it was alive. But unfortunately, it is not. That game was just too hard and not monetized well enough. And that makes me sad. But I loved it. It was so good. Oh, Custom Robo, Bomb Patrol said. Yeah, that's another one I've talked about. I did love that game. Okay, last question of the evening before some news. Neon Kerm asked if we could play one Smite role at a pro level that isn't yours. What would you play? What role would you play if it wasn't ADC bear on the SPL?
Like, for the experience? Like...
No, it's like, no ADC spots are available, but...
Okay.
A team will pick you up for your second best role, which is?
Honestly, I think I would just play support. I don't think I'd be good at it, but I think I would just play it.
If Xing Chen was meta, you're in a good spot.
If Xing Chen, Ganesh, Geb, Fafnir, you know, definitely could work on my Ymir. Umoja, you know, you gotta ban that every game.
Gotta ban it.
Yeah. Sovek, situationally. If those gods were meta...
That's a god ocean right there. You got more than enough. No way they're banning you out.
Yeah, we'd have to ban Umoja, though.
So. Right, you gotta ban Umoja. But
I couldn't play it, so...
Well, that's just how it goes sometimes, you know? Nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, I feel like just because I've watched so many supports play over the years, and, like, play against me, play with them, I feel like that's the role I would understand the most. Because I feel like jungle and mid and solo, I'd have to make a lot of decisions that I wouldn't be used to, but support, I feel like I've watched them move around the map for so long, and I've been harassed by so many supports over the years... So, yeah, support.
Makes sense. I would also say support, but that's because my mechanics aren't good. And that's the trope about support, so I don't really think it's true these days. And also...
Well, if you saw that assault game.
Well, yeah, if I saw that assault game, maybe I'd say differently. And also, I think that my best aspect as a player was always my communication. And... my role as a teammate, and those are things that I could more easily focus on as support than on other roles. So that's why I'd say that. Okay. Appreciate everyone who sent in some questions and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure we'll be taking some more questions in the future. We always end up doing that at some point during the year. Before we get to the random question of the week, though, we've been talking about it, and you know what? I finally messed around and did it. We do officially now have a Patreon. It is easy to go to. It is patreon.com/backliners. This is a way for our viewers and listeners to support Bera and I directly. Of course, it's still great, and we highly encourage you to go and support us by using our sponsorship links. That's still a great way to support the show. But if you've done that or you're in a country where you can't do that, and you still want to support the show, this is the best way to do it. So again, patreon.com/backliners. There are some options there on what type of patron you want to become. Either way, we have created a exclusive community Discord that you can only gain access to by becoming a patron. That is a place that Barra and I will be particularly active. Definitely the best place to get a hold of us and, you know, hang out with us, ask us questions, all that kind of stuff. There are currently two tiers of Patreon subscription. Please let me know if there's anything that you want to see added or any type of extra benefits that you think would be good incentives. Right now, if you are, it's at $5 and $10 a month. For the higher one, for the $10 a month, we are going to start doing, starting maybe next week, maybe we'll give it 2 weeks to get some more,
marinade.
Yes. To let it sit, let it marinate a little bit. After each podcast, Barra and I I'm going to press stop streaming. I'm going to close OBS. Then we're going to pop in that Discord and hang out for a little bit, probably at least 15 to 20 minutes, every podcast. Just hang out, shoot the breeze, talk about whatever you want to talk about, tell funny stories about something we were going to say on the podcast, but, you know, couldn't for whatever reason.
And if we do, you can't leak
it. And you can't leak it. You can't. Because we'll have we'll have your info and stuff, and Barra will track you down and find you.
Avril will track you down.
Barra's going to do it, though. We talked about it, and he agreed to do it.
I could sprint.
Yeah, we'll be posting, you know, pet pics and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, overall, definitely excited to get this off the ground. Again, please let us know if there's anything else you want to see as part of the Patreon plan. Oh, and you'll get a special shout out at the end of every podcast. We'll run down the list for all of our higher. What are the two tiers? What did I call these two tiers that you could? That you could join. There's extremely cool person and unreasonably cool person. We will shout out all of our unreasonably cool people each podcast episode at the very end. So again, patreon.com/backliners is the place that you want to go for all of that. Uh-huh. All right, Barry, let's get to our random question of the week. Maybe one of the last ones that I have to come up with, because if you join the community Discord, there will be a place for you to suggest random questions of the week, and we will pull one from that Discord every single week. And thank God, because I'm out of them. I don't know what to ask right now. I'm staring at this Reese's Take 5 on my desk, and I want to eat it so badly.
I've done a lot of candy ones.
We have done a lot of candy ones.
Oh! I tweeted about this, but I just want you guys
big.
To know.
Okay.
If you like mushrooms, try boiling them. Just trust me. Just try boiling them. I know this is the weirdest sounding, stupidest thing you've probably ever heard. And I thought the same thing until I boiled some mushrooms. And this sounds like a sales pitch, but it's not. I promise you, that's the best mushroom I've ever had. All you gotta do is go to the store and cover your mushrooms with water and then boil it down to where you're basically sauteing them. All the water's gone. Then you saute them like normal. Throw some butter, throw some garlic, throw some onions, whatever you want in there. You cannot overcook mushrooms, so I learned about this, and these are the best mushrooms I've ever had. So I'm just shouting that out here, so hopefully people try it and then come back to me and say, Barra, those were the best mushrooms I've ever had.
Barra, there wasn't a single question mark in that whole time.
Yeah, but I needed to get on my soapbox full of mushrooms and tell the world, outside of Twitter, that, you need to do that.
Okay.
I just cooked, what's the most basic kind of mushroom? I cooked white mushrooms the second time. And the first time I cooked, what are those mushrooms? Portobellos?
Mm-hmm.
Chopped up portobellos? I chopped them up both times, by the way. And I'm telling you, that mushroom flavor, when all the juice leaves the mushrooms and then it reconcentrates into the mushrooms, dude, just taste the broth when it's like all black, and that is it's like mushroom concentrate. Just try it.
You Do you save that? The mushroom concentrate?
No, it cooks into the mushrooms. Oh, so okay. The mushrooms release all of their fluid. Oh, yeah, you want to salt the water, too, by the way. Sorry. You want to salt the water, have it boiling, boil the mushrooms all the way down. All the mushroom juice will leave the mushrooms, and then it will reconcentrate into the mushrooms. And like I said, you can't overcook mushrooms because mushrooms are OP. So you can boil them. The first time I tried it, I poured way too much water in there. So I boiled those suckers for about 90 minutes. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you, those were the best mushrooms I've ever had in my entire life.
I'm really happy for you, man. That sounds like it was a great experience. And I'm really glad that you shared it with everyone. I don't know how to make this into a random question of the week. but it only added to the show.
Have we done pizza toppings?
100% we have. Okay. There is absolutely 0% chance that we have.
That's
not.
Fair. Pizza, we've done sandwiches, we've probably done smoothies and ice cream.
Yeah, we've definitely done all of those. We've done cookies. We literally can't say all the things that we've done because we've done. How many shows do you think we've done? I guess the prediction guys could tell us. Surely we're at
definitely over 100.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we should have done something special for our 100th episode, but I didn't know when it was.
I also
that's on me. Maybe we haven't. No, we've been doing this for a long time, huh? It's been like over 2 years.
Yeah, we started in 2020, right?
Yeah. Yeah, surely that is the.
I don't think we've ever done salads because I don't feel like.
Both. Wait, there's only 52 weeks in a year. So maybe we have. It's possible. I don't know. I'm losing my mind here. I'm losing it. It's lost.
Oh,
it's gone.
Just pick a chat question.
A first world problem says super salad. This makes me think of hibachi, because that's the question where you get asked this the most, right? Is doing super salad with your hibachi order. I'm a soup guy, 100%. No matter what. There are very few salads that I prefer to soup. Soup is really good. Potato soup's the best soup. But the hibachi, I don't want miso soup. Miso soup's fine, but not my favorite. I really like the soup that you get at hibachi places where you just get, it's like just one or two, like, mushrooms floating in there. It's like, it tastes very like chicken stocky, but it's just like a salty broth with some green onion and some mushroom. That very simple. That's my favorite. I don't know what that type of soup is called exactly, but I love hibachi. Hibachi is one of the types of foods that I could eat every day for the rest of my life and feel really happy about it.
I feel like I want to say, okay, so as a general like decision, I feel like I would want to say salad, but I can't think of any salad that I would rather have over a good potato soup.
Oh, potato soup, so, man. Holy cow, is it so good.
I feel like off of that elimination, I have to go soups, because there's no salad I would want to eat that's better than a potato salad. There's just not.
Yep.
Potato soup, sorry.
Potato salad is gross, so it's definitely not that.
Yeah, I don't like potato salad.
Where do you fall on the bread bowl decision? Like, do you like bread bowls? Like, Joe, who's a soup lover just as I am, doesn't like bread bowls because it gets the bread all soggy on the inside. But I think that's good in this instance.
I don't think I've ever had one.
You've never had soup in a bread bowl?
I don't think so.
It's awesome. It's really
is
good.
It literally a bowl.
It is a
bread?
Yeah, it's like a dome of bread that they cut off they cut out the middle and they pour the soup into the middle. And so you get like pieces of bread falling off the edges into your soup bites. And then once the soup is gone, you get to break apart the dome and eat the soup infused bread.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with Joe here. I feel like I would rather just have them separate and then dip my bread in the soup.
Yeah, I do love, Panera is like where you get the bread bowls. Dipping Panera baguettes into their broccoli cheddar or potato soup, like, I might go get that for lunch tomorrow, just thinking about it. Like, it is so good. It is so good. Did you know I worked at a Panera in college for a while?
I didn't know that.
It did. It wasn't great. Reheat.
Yeah, I've heard you just like reheat soups.
Yeah, they come in giant. This is me, like Panera person listening. It's like, oh, maybe we should sponsor the episode, the show. They're like talking about how much they like bread bowls. Me now talking about how gross the soups are. They come in frozen rectangles, right? They come in giant, and they are like you could murder someone with this thing. Like it is a murder weapon, and you have to put it in a heat. Like there's a special machine that they have with just like scalding hot water. That you just dip them in there, and then you put it in between two metal, like, rods so that it'll stay in place as it reheats to, like, soup temperature. It unfreezes. That freaked me out a little bit. Overall, like, it was basically what you would expect. You know, no one thinks that Panera is, like, no one's like, yeah, Panera is reasonably costed. It is so expensive there for no reason. But it was, like, fine. I am sad for people that they can't experience how good the baguettes straight out of the oven are. Like, you always get the old baguettes, you know what I mean? Because that's what baguettes are. Like, you know, they're coming to you after they've been sitting there for a while. But I used to crush the baguettes coming right out of the oven. Or, like, the croutons straight out of the oven. I would annihilate those things. And then my boss told me to stop eating them. And I didn't. And then I quit eventually.
There's a Kroger down the street, and they always mark down, like, the bread items that are about to go bad, mm-hmm. and lately they've been having so many baguettes and, like, rolls and stuff that go on sale, or they're just, like, half price or below half price, and I just buy them, stick them in my freezer, and, dude, the hot baguettes, oh, there's nothing... As so a good. Bread guy, there is nothing that beats that hot out of the oven. Dude.
We should make bread sometime, Bear. Have you ever made bread? I haven't, and I want to try.
I have, and it's a lot of fun.
Maybe that could be a Patreon goal, stretch goal, is that at some point we will, if we get enough patrons, we'll get together and we'll do some bread in the Discord, you know, like live in the Discord or something like that.
We also need to do the spicy thing.
The spice? Oh, we're going to eat spicy stuff?
Where we, like, line up. I mean, it's like the chicken wing thing where you, like...
Yeah, hot ones?
Yeah. We have to do that. We told the audience a while back that we would do that. I don't know for what episode.
Oh, true.
That might have been the 100th episode we were talking about.
I'll ask prediction what episode we're on. Surely they've got it numbered somewhere, even if it isn't, like, where they post it. We'll look into it. Yeah, that could be a good... patron goal as well, just us doing random things for doing it. So yeah, patreon.com/backliners if you want to support us directly. Another great way to support the show is of course by interacting with our sponsors, mintmobile.com/backliners in order to get premium live services to $15 a month, and betterhelp.com/backliners that will get you 10% off your first services on BetterHelp, which is quite cool. Thanks, everyone, for watching / listening. SPL is back this weekend, so we will be back on Monday talking about it on the Backliners. There you go. Then it all comes full circle. Give us a good rating. Check out all prediction shows, all that kind of good stuff. Patreon.com/backliners. And, Vera, you know what to do.
Bye.
Clean. Oh, we should put your bye as a ring, a downloadable ringtone on...
Please don't.
Patreon. Yep, I'm on it. Don't worry.
Bro, people would come to Worlds and they'd just chase me around with bye, 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 bye.
And you're upset about that?
I would be a little bit, I think.